This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You are listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast, Green Lantern First Flight. A special edition iFanboy podcast. We're here talking about Green Lantern First Flight. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
And Paul Montgomery.
Hey, gang.
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
Doing all right.
Green Lantern First Flight is the latest DVD, direct-to-DVD film from the Bruce Timm DC Animated Studio, which he's been doing. This is the fifth one, I believe. There was Superman Doomsday and Wonder Woman and New Frontier and the Batman anthology. So this is the fifth one, yeah. Green Lantern is getting a big push from DC. He's got the live-action film coming out next year. He's burning up the comics world with all the stuff that Geoff Johns has been doing. It's probably the buzz book out of DC, or probably out of DC and Marvel. It's probably the biggest buzz book. And so they're really pushing Green Lantern, and now we've got a DC animated film coming out of it from Bruce Timm. And so let's talk about it. You guys watched it, correct? We wouldn't be here if you didn't.
I knew I forgot something.
Oh, wait, I was supposed to watch it? Oh, right.
You should base your opinions all on conjecture.
It's that security sticker. I can't peel it off. I can't do it.
Well, when I did peel it off, it scratched the disc.
Yeah.
So the Green Lantern First Flight is basically the origin story. Well, not really. It's a story of Hal Jordan in his early days.
It's his first flight.
It's his first flight. It's not
his first mission.
Yeah, his first mission, yeah.
And basically the story, if you know Green Lantern at all, it opens with him getting the ring from Abin Sur, and he goes to Oa, and he meets the Guardians and the Green Lanterns, and he's thrust right to the middle of an adventure that involves Sinestro as he turns evil, as we all know he will. And it uses some elements from the Green Sinestro Corps War, and that Sinestro makes his own ring and suit. Looks a lot like the comics.
It looked exactly like the comics.
Right.
Yeah.
And really it's all about Hal Jordan's first mission. He gets the ring, goes to Oa, becomes a Green Lantern, and is thrust right in the middle of this burgeoning sort of civil war in the midst of the Green Lantern ranks between Sinestro and his followers and the rest of the Green Lanterns. And that is the brief synopsis of the film. So let's talk about the film itself. I know that before going into it, I knew that there was a lot of negative buzz around this one. I'd seen a lot of the reviews, the early reviews.
People got it
beforehand, and a lot of negative buzz. I didn't read any of it. I just read the headlines. I went into it knowing there was negative buzz. When I watched it, I thought there were some definite problems in it, but overall I thought it was okay and fun, and it was probably around the Superman Doomsday level. I'd put it below Wonder Woman and New Frontier and above Batman. Yeah. So sort of mid-range.
Right. Well, before you even get into rating it, you keep calling it a film, and I watched a cartoon. I don't know about you guys.
But it's a film. It's an animated film.
I'm teasing. I thought it was a solid B. It was good, not great. It had some things I liked, had some things I didn't like, and you know, that, and that's pretty much it. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. I mean, I thought that there were, I mean, it was good. It was better animation than the standard fare cartoon. It was obviously movie animation, you know, but it wasn't, you know, like, the animation never blew me away. There are things about the animation I didn't like. There are things about the story I didn't like. There are things about the character designs I didn't like, but there were some things I did like. So,
well, let's talk about stuff we didn't like, and then we'll get into the stuff we did like.
We're doing didn't like first?
Yeah.
Okay, we're mixing it up.
Yep, I thought that the biggest problem with this film was the first act. I thought once you got beyond the first act, it was pretty fun. The first act basically consists of Hal Jordan getting his ring, going to Oa, and finding out about the Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
And getting thrust into the core. And basically, like, he's given the ring, he goes to Oa, and that's it.
Yep.
He's almost a full-fledged Green Lantern. There's no questions. He doesn't ask how the ring works. No one tells him what it does.
I wanted way more early stuff. Well, essentially it starts off with him as a test pilot with Ferris and Ferris Aircraft and Carol. And I didn't think we got nearly enough on the Ferris Aircraft side of things.
The biggest problem is a lot of story to tell, and they only had a short amount of time to do it, and I think maybe there was too much story,
it just wasn't enough though. And then the fact that they Abinsur crashes, and then the ring goes and gets him and like rips him from a flight simulator and brings him over there, which was kind of like, that was kind of lame. Like, they should have had, you know, like
it was the same exact scenario as New Frontier.
Yeah, I know, but it didn't work for some reason. Character wise, I don't know why they redesigned Abinsur.
Yep.
To make him look more alien. I mean, Paul, I mean, you with me on this one? Or?
Yeah, yeah. It's just to make it like a more diverse alien kind of thing. Other than, I guess he'd look too similar to Sinestro
in this design. I don't know. It just felt like it was one of those changes you make that you didn't have to. They did explain why he was in flying a ship, which I think is the funniest paradox in the Green Lantern origin. It's like all the Green Lanterns fly around, yet Abinsur was flying a ship, but they explained that he was injured. I didn't like the costume, the Green Lantern costume. It reminded me, do you remember in the late 90s, the Kyle Rayner action figure, where you could snap on these plastic green construct armor things?
No.
It reminded me of that action figure. Like, it looked like there was armor. It didn't look like it was like a suit, you know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Everybody's very muscly.
Yeah, very muscly, very muscly.
I liked Hal Jordan's design, his face. I thought it was a good design of Hal Jordan, but I thought his costume was okay. It was very similar. They just got rid of the white, which I don't have a problem with because it was kind of silly to have the white gloves. But Sinestro and Kilowog, they all had weird designs because they were different.
Yeah.
I thought the biggest problem was, first of all, the whole movie takes place in the course of a week because he takes a week off of Ferris Air, goes up to Oa. And at the end, he goes back to Ferris Air. So, to me, the thing I couldn't shake was that he never seemed like a new Green Lantern, Hal Jordan.
Yep.
Yeah, it always seemed like a adventure of Hal Jordan somewhere in his career where he'd already was a well established Green Lantern, because he never asked how to do anything. He always seemed to know how to do everything with the ring.
Well, they had that moment where the Guardians were questioning him, and Sinestro says, "Let me take him under my wing," and stuff like that. I thought that was good.
Yep.
But there was no training. There was no, like you said, he got the ring, and then next thing you know, he's flying and he's talking to Carol Ferris on a Green Lantern cell phone.
Right.
Yeah. He came up with the way to make a Bluetooth headset out of the Green Lantern energy within 3 days of having the ring. That's pretty advanced.
Right, yeah.
This is a major prodigy of the Green Lanterns. And I think they're kind of pushing that a lot, that he was like, he's really good at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's going to be the best Green Lantern. I thought it was interesting when he had the little Sailor Moon kind of transformation into the Green Lantern in the first place. That was kind of neat. Yeah. No, it was very because it really does bear repeating that it's a very different animation and character design style than the other films in the past. It's very sort of anime styled and dynamic, which I think worked for the action scenes, which I think were all very good. There were a lot of
really good action sequences.
It's great chase scenes, and when they went to Mos Eisley, that was fun.
Yeah. That was the other thing too. Like, when they went to Oa, I was like, where are they? Cloud City? It was like, some of the locations were not that inspired.
The pitch for this movie has to be Training Day meets the Star Wars.
That's what they've
prequels.
Been talking about. Yeah. That's what they've been describing as Training Day. Which
Training Day? But I like this. The meets the Star Wars prequels. That's clever, Paul. Good job.
Mm.
I like the Sinestro Hal interplay. But let's finish the stuff we didn't like. I thought. Okay. One thing that really lacked the other films had was there weren't a lot of character moments.
Yep.
Right. It was pretty much all plot and all action, whereas Wonder Woman had a lot of great character stuff, and New Frontier had a lot of great character stuff.
it's similar in super. I'd equate this almost directly to Superman Doomsday, which didn't have a lot of characters. So it was all action.
The little character moments that did happen almost seemed out of character. Like when Hal was on was in front of the Guardians before, you know, before Sinestro took him under his wing, and they were like, and he like had, it was very flip, very glib, and had an attitude. I was like, where's this coming from? Like, it's like I didn't know him well enough to expect that kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, and same thing like with Kilowog when he's complaining, like, hey, I'm the trainer, and it's like, well, we don't know that. You know, like there was a lot of, I feel like there was a lot of assumptions made about the characters, and that could have been made with the character moments. You know,
and sort of, and, yeah.
That's sort of a question of like, who is this for? Who is this, like, who is this movie designed for? Because, you know, the built-in fan base is going to know all this stuff and be able to make those assumptions. But even still, we know this stuff, and we were bothered that some of that stuff wasn't in there, and that we didn't get like a, you know, a ground level, a foundation for this character and how he got there. It would have been nice to see that, because there aren't any Green Lantern feature films. This is the first time you get a full feature out of this character. So.
It was I mean, I was, the whole time I thought he would say something about being around aliens, you know, like he's brought up into space with by aliens. He's put in front of this alien tribunal, which was the Guardians. And at no time he's like, wow, I'm in space with aliens.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's a lot of things that you were looking for. The other thing I didn't really like was a lot of the CG animation was really clunky.
Oh, yes. Wait, oh, the lantern, the Green Lantern,
the creation the power of the battery. Lantern.
Oh my God! They combined standard animation with computer animation, and it was just like, it looked like it was straight out of like the late 80s.
It was like a commercial for a CG design school, like a correspondence school. Like, it was like really bad. It was like the prototype for Reboot or something. It was really, really
totally
cheap.
Reboot. It looked very Rebooty. But then, like, and I didn't stop to look at it, but I got the feeling that the in the story, basically, Sinestro finds the yellow, you know, the yellow power battery,
yellow element,
the yellow element, which becomes, you know, becomes encased in a yellow power battery, and it like flies with him and is a weapon. That wasn't CG, was it? Or wasn't CG all the time? Like,
I think it was CG all the time.
Oh, it just didn't look good. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, but anyway, but so to go with CG versus the standard animation at the same time was just was very conflicting.
It was very jarring. Yeah, you could see it every time. The only other complaint I had was, which is just a story point, is that they told Hal the history of the Guardians, and they said that the Guardians created the first power battery in order to protect the universe. But when they did that, they were the only sentient beings in the universe. So why would they need to protect it if they're the only five people in the universe? That's just a dumb little thing.
And they did little things that I felt like they did for the sake of doing them, like when the Guardians voted. And by showing that they agreed, their eyes went white. I was like, all right, they just say eye. Like, they don't need to make the eyes go white. You know what I mean? Like, there was just stuff that they did just for the sake of doing it, to make it look weird and you know, alien. And yeah. I don't know. It just didn't feel very natural. But that was that. Once you got through that first act and got through all that shit and it got rolling, you know, when Hal and Sinestro went to Mos Eisley, and then you see Sinestro go crazy and then all this kind of sort of stuff, then it got really good. I mean, the action was good. It was cool to see how Hal used the ring differently than the other Green Lanterns. Like, he was really the only one who made shapes and things, where the other ones were just using it as like bolts and stuff like that, like energy bolts.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking like it's horrible, but it really wasn't. Once you got past the first third, it really got fun and exciting, and there was a lot of great Hal Sinestro stuff. And I liked the sort of Hal Sinestro going evil, and even though I know Boudica is evil, I still forgot about it and was shocked.
Oh, I totally forgot about it. I totally forgot. Yeah. And then I gotta admit, like, when Sinestro, you know, puts on the yellow ring and goes through his Sailor Moon moment and becomes, you know, the first, you know, like Sinestro in the Yellow Lantern costume with the Yellow Lantern logo, that was pretty cool. Like, I'll be honest, that played to my Green Lantern geek, you know.
It just overall felt like they thought we got to do a Green Lantern film, and they rushed it out, and they really should have just.
Well, I don't know if they rushed it or.
It was like they needed to do a Green Lantern film, and it wasn't really as thought out as the other films.
Well, no, I don't know if it wasn't thought out. I think I kind of wonder whether Bruce Timm and his team are getting kind of tired after five of these in how many years? In what, 2-3 years? Right?
He's just producing it, but
yeah. No, I'm not saying him, but I'm saying the people working on it. You know what I mean? Like, it seems as if, I don't know. It seemed like the story was rushed. Seemed like there was some weird animation decisions. You know, like, and it just, I don't know. It didn't feel like fully, like you said, it might have been rushed. Didn't feel like it was fully thought out. You know, and it was only like an hour and 15 minutes, right? Which, well, I guess
they,
that's how
they,
long
they've
the
all been
are.
An hour 20. Yeah. That's their all time. But I liked being the live action film is going to be interesting because this is basically a space battle with aliens, and you don't know how goofy that's going to look with live action. But I think animation is a good medium for this. I liked seeing all the aliens. I liked seeing all the Green Lanterns that we know. I thought the Hal Sinestro fight at the end was fantastic. The sort of fist fight in space that every time they hit each other, the space went, you know, green or red or yellow depending on who hit who.
And it gets a little Dragon Ball Z there at the end, but
yes.
But yeah, it's fun. It is fun to watch. Green was a little
yeah. When I mean, did Hal basically take like ion? Like, was that like sort of like the ion-y power kind of stuff? Yeah,
it was full of odd choices. Like you find yourself wondering why do they do that? Like the rings never talked to the Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
They never said, "Hey, I'm at 25% power." You know, like they would just die, and
yeah.
And you just wonder why they threw away all the tropes of Green Lantern in this film. I did like when Sinestro shut off the power battery and all the Green Lanterns lost their power, all the rings that came back.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a very sort of chilling moment when all the rings rained down on the Guardians, all these Green Lanterns that were in space and suddenly died, which was nice.
There's a lot of really dark moments in there. I don't know how spoilery we want to get, but the fish guy, the Viceroy of the Trade Federation.
Oh, yes.
when he's sort of, well, whatever, we'll give it away. He's sort of zombified just so Sinestro can get some information. That's really dark.
Yeah, it was.
That's like a really creepy idea. I was watching. I was like, damn, this is a cartoon. Jeez.
Also, Budaka's death was dark.
Yeah.
Bloody.
It's a crazy reveal for that. And yeah, it was pretty cool. What did you guys think of the voice actors for this?
I thought Maloney was great.
I did, and I was not sure going into it because I really like David Boreanaz in New Frontier.
Yeah.
And really, you haven't heard a lot of animated Hal, so you don't have like a seminal Hal like
Kevin Conroy. Yeah.
So you don't know it. You know, there's different. You can't really compare. So all I have is David Boreanaz. I really liked his sort of laid back California style, even though David Boreanaz is from Pennsylvania, but it doesn't matter. Christopher Maloney had more of an edge to his voice. Like he's gravelly, and I liked it. He did a really good job. Yeah. So was Victor Garber as Sinestro. He was really good, too.
Sinestro, my favorite part of the movie was his performance as Sinestro was great. I think it's one of the better, not even just the better villains in the movie so far, but one of the better characters. Just for a movie where we're talking about there's not a lot of character moments and character development, I think he's really strong. Yeah, it was more Sinestro's movie than anything else.
It really was,
There wasn't a lot with Hal. That was the problem.
Yeah. If there was as much Hal as there was Sinestro, it would be a really good movie. Really great.
Yeah. I did like the voices. I think Victor Garber was great. I liked Maloney. I thought Kilowog's voice was good.
Michael Madsen.
Yeah, which is great. I actually found myself disliking the animation, the art direction. Like, I didn't like Hal's face. I didn't like the chin. I didn't like the Guardians. Like, everything was way too edgy for me.
I agree with the Guardians. They look kind of weird.
Yeah, they looked. I mean, I know they're supposed to look weird because they're short and blue. Maybe I'm used to reading them in the comics, but I kind of like the round heads. You know, yeah. But I geeked out at there being Ganthet amongst the Guardians. I don't know, just because I like Ganthet. But yeah, so
I like seeing Ganthet like Chip and you know all of them. You know, Tomar Ri and Arisia and all the the old school Green Lantern stuff. And we really are sort of harping on the bad stuff, but really. It's a fun. It's overall, I enjoyed.
Oh yeah, once it got going. I mean, there was a couple of action sequences, like when there was the whole action sequence with Hal and Sinestro and Mos Eisley. There was the action sequence of chasing the bad guy.
Really fun when he chased him through Mos Eisley.
Well, yeah, no, but not that was the first bad guy, but who's the boss guy? What's his name? Kanjar Ro. Yeah, exactly. With the
Kurtwood Smith, right?
Yeah.
I kept waiting for him to call Hal a dumbass.
Oh, I thought the cursing was unnecessary. I thought like when Sinestro's like when Sinestro takes says let me train him and they go okay and everyone leaves and Hal's like well what does this mean? He's like it means I own your ass. And like stuff like that, you don't need that, I don't know.
You do and you don't. I mean, if you're making an adult PG-13 film,
but I feel like you're doing it just to make a PG-13 movie. Then, like every time they cursed, it didn't feel right. And it was like maybe four times, but but I thought the Kandra Rowe scene on the ship was great because we found out about the Sinestro's working with him, and then Hal stumbles into it, and I thought the and of course the big epic finale battle when Hal started busting out a golf club and a baseball bat.
That was
so
great.
That was awesome. That was so cool. Yeah, so
I really like that sequence because you really got Hal's imagination. Like, he was using all the Earth stuff to beat this guy who, you know, wasn't ready for it.
Yep.
I just found myself watching it thinking they should have just done like a stripped down Sinestro war, core war, you know?
Like, not even worry about the origin story or?
Yeah, not even worry about, because they really didn't even do the origin story. I mean, he wasn't.
I agree with that.
Once you got past the title sequence, he wasn't really a new Green Lantern anymore. He was basically a seasoned Green Lantern. Yeah. And they should have just started it with saying, our old teammate Sinestro has his own army, and they should have just had a full fledged battle. But
and
it was
no
fun.
CG. No more. No more, please.
Yeah. Not good.
It's hard because the elements that are not good stick out. But the elements that aren't good are harder to describe because there's a lot of good action in it. But at the end of it, when it was over, I kind of wanted to continue. So that's a good sign. And I really liked it. So that was a good sign.
Yeah. No, like I said, I gave it a solid B. I gave it a solid B. So I'm not regretful of watching it. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'd watch it again.
If you're a big Green Lantern fan, if you've been reading the Green Lantern comics lately and you've been enjoying them, you should definitely watch it. You get a lot out of it. It's fun to see all the stuff in motion, and Hal is a fun character. And it says in the box, the first ever Green Lantern film. So, I mean, if you've been looking for these characters and to get – I mean, I liked all of these sort of portrayals of all the main guys, Kilowog and Sinestro and Tomar Reed. They're all – you know, if you're an old school Green Lantern fan, they're all in there. And you'll enjoy it. I think if you're a Green Lantern, you'll enjoy it if you can separate yourself from the book and the movie.
Yeah, I think there's enough good in there to warrant checking it out at least. So
yeah, I mean, like I said, like Connor said, it's very Green Lantern-y this time right now with Black as Night going on in the comics, everything like that. So if you want to celebrate Green Lantern and you're a Green Lantern fan, this is a must own. But if casual fan, rent it, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you say this is a good place to start if you want to try Green Lantern?
Yeah, I think this is a good starting point. Absolutely. Yeah.
Damn you.
Very clever, Paul. Very clever.
So it was just weird. You know, I think the biggest thing was the structure was weird. That was the biggest thing for me. They wanted to do an origin story nominally because people don't know who he is, but at the same time, it wasn't really an origin story.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a regular Green Lantern adventure, which they could have just done without the origin. Just have it be, you could have told the origin, and had it be like in a flashback or something, and not have to worry about the first act, which really did muck up the whole thing.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, but it was fun watching it. It's been a while since I watched one of these cartoons, so it was fun to take an hour and watch it. So.
And the next one is in a few months. It's Superman Batman, and it's based on the Jeff Loeb Ed McGuinness story, which was really good. So that'll be fun.
Public Enemies, yeah.
Oh, cool. So it'll probably look good. Probably the story will be shit, but whatever.
The preview looked pretty good. I'm not a Loeb fan at all, but the preview looks pretty awesome. It's some pretty good action scenes, and every character is in it.
Cool.
Yeah. They made a big point of that.
But we'll be back here, though, sooner than that for theatrical movies, though, right? Isn't G.I. Joe next?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah, it'll be G.I. Joe and then probably that one. Yeah. I don't want to think about it right now.
Yeah. So, but in the meantime, you can go over to ifanboy.com. That's where our website is, and that's where you can find the normal Pick of the Week podcast, as well as all the writing and all that fun stuff, and Paul's wacky, zany videos from San Diego. And
From
San Diego, on the way to San Diego.
If you want to talk about this movie, if you saw it yourself, you want to chat about it, there'll be a discussion thread right underneath this show on ifanboy.com. So go there, and let's get a discussion going. Yep. I'm sure people have lots of different feelings in this film.
Yeah, tell us what you think about it. If you have any feedback for us, email us at contact@ifanboy.com or call us at 1-888-FANBOYS, 1-888-326-2697. Cool.
And until G.I. Joe.
Yes.
I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
I'm Paul.
Ha ha. It really was Star Wars-y. That's a very good observation. It was.
It's Mos Eisley.
I know, it totally is. And it was Cloud City on Oahu.
Yeah.
Well.
Wait, what are you
going to
do?
And I hated that we had to wait till the end for the oath. I wanted the oath up front.
That's I thought they were going to do without it, the oath.
Yeah, I almost thought they weren't going to do the oath. Yep.
So they didn't do any of the tropes. They didn't do any of the sort of elements that make Green Lantern Green Lantern. And I thought, wow, they're just totally getting rid of everything. Yeah. They did it. Which was nice. It was nice.
They did the oath. It was nice. It was nice.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.